God bless you all, dear friends. Welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. We are live today with Brother Joseph. God bless you.
God bless you.
Like we told you, every Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. Central American Time, we are doing live programs to answer all your questions. And actually, you have been writing in some very good questions. Interesting. I would like to hear the answer myself. We will broadcast all the live programs at 8 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturdays and Sundays. So get ready, invite your friends, prepare your Bible, and be blessed. Brother Joseph, the first question. A sweet brother who has been following us for a long time now, he's asking, I would like to ask Brother Joseph concerning Revelations 6:12 and 8:12. Will they be 3 days of darkness, like certain religions say? Will they be some apparitions of Holy Mary in the end time? And we Christians, how are we supposed to behave?
They said there will be apparition, or there were apparition of Holy Mary?
They're asking if there will be.
Apparition of Holy Mary?
Yes.
They ask Holy Mary, don't ask me.
All right, but he's talking about the 3 days of darkness, Revelation 6:12 and 8:12.
Well, 3 days of darkness, if I recall, there were 3 days of darkness included in the 10 plagues of Egypt. I think it's Exodus chapter 10. It talks about 3 days of darkness. In the end time, it talks about darkness in Revelation 9, 12. You want to read it? Or 8:12 over there?
8:12 and 6:12. Yeah. Which one?
8:12, about the darkness, right?
Yes.
Is it the fourth?
Yes. The fourth angel sounded. And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
So where these guys are getting this 3 days of darkness, I don't understand.
Yeah, it says it's going to be dark, and that's it.
Concerning apparition, I don't believe anything which is not in the Bible. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, the devil comes as an angel of light. He said to the Galatians 1, verse 8, even though an angel from heaven will announce a different gospel, you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we have apparition from God, true, and apparition from the devil, false. And they all appear to be alike. So now, how do you know the difference? The difference is the Bible. If you don't know the Bible, you're going to be deceived.
Yes,
so
amen.
My recommendation is don't believe nothing which... you don't see based in the Bible, but clearly so. Because you see, the devil has a certain knowledge above us. He knows a little bit more about the prophecies than we do, a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he can have apparition and kind of saints appearing, prophesying something, etc. But the thing is that if you see, for example, the Fatima apparition, the beginning of the 20th century, which talks about wars, world wars, etc. Well, those things, I could have prophesied them too, because anybody who knows the Bible with a little spiritual discernment will understand that there's going to be wars coming. And so it was. So I recommend you don't believe anything which is not the Bible. So.
Amen. Now let's see, according to the Bible, this darkness, when will it happen?
Well, according to the Bible, it will happen at the fourth angel, the trumpet, the fourth trumpet, which is going to be one of the catastrophe which will hit the earth. But it's only,
but
like,
when?
Like you say specifically, the day, it's only for a third of the day, it's not 3 days.
Yes,
when?
Yes.
Well, you see, the seven trumpets of tribulations that happen, we call it the tribulation because it, during the period of tribulation, the seven trumpets, there's no sound in Revelation 8 and 9, which is tribulation, but sounds in Revelations 11, 15.
You mean the last trumpet?
The last one. Which, like he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, Paul says the rapture is going to be at the last trumpet.
Okay.
So you have the tribulation, Revelations 8 and 9, six
two
trumpets.
Chapters.
Yes, Revelation 8 and 9, the chapter, the two chapters.
Okay.
And then the seventh trumpet it sounds in Revelation 11, 15, which as this chapter shows, Revelation 11, it's the tribulation. It gives exactly the space. 42 months, 1,260 days, the beast persecutes the two witnesses, and the two witnesses, they testify for 3.5 years. At the end of 3.5 years, verse 7, they are killed. Mm-hmm. All right. And then there is a voice that says, come up here. They fly in heaven. Okay, that's resurrection.
Okay.
Followed, after that, followed, in verse 15, by the seventh trumpet. And that's the rapture, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51.
So if I understand right, the seventh trumpet sounds at the end of the tribulation is the rapture. And also, the other six trumpets, the other Revelations chapter 8 and 9, describing the great tribulation and all the events that are occurring during this period.
Exactly.
And the darkness, what is it?
Well, the darkness is the fourth trumpet, so right in the middle of the tribulations.
Ah, okay, I understand.
Like for a third of the day, it will be dark. Why? Probably some atomic war or some comet will strike the Earth and will just blow up in the stratosphere such a dust. For a third of the day, okay, there will not be a light, not the stars, not the moon, not the sun.
Okay.
What is the stars, moon, and sun? Because all over the globe, if it's day over here, it's night over there. If on the side of the globe, it obscures the sun for a third of the day, on the other side will obscure the stars for a third of the night. You understand?
All right. And what about the other reference that this brother sends, Revelation 6:12?
Well, let's read it.
All right.
You can read it from 12. I believe this is the sixth seal. Okay, this is the seventh seal book, which tells of the future. The first four, the four horsemen of the Apocalypse. The first is Jesus, the victorious Jesus. And then the next three are the horsemen of the devil, war. And then there is business, the guy in black with the scales. And then there is the pale horse, which represents death. These are the three demons by which the devil just torments the earth. But the one on the white horse is the same, is Jesus. It's the same as Revelation 19:11, Jesus, that comes victorious with a crown, etc. It's just the same. I know that most churches interpret that as being of the devil. That's because some scholars got them off the track. But that's Jesus, okay?
Okay, so Revelation 6:12?
Right, until the end.
Okay. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains.
See, they are really preparing for that right now. Many heads of government, many big personality of the police or the army, like the big shots of the world, they're already preparing tunnels under the mountains in the event of atomic war, which they probably provoke. They know it's coming. So they're planning to survive an atomic war by moving into these caves under the mountains for a few years until the radiation goes down, and then they supposedly take over the world or something like that. But the guys are out of their mind. So they will have these tunnels. They already have in existence.
And really?
Yeah, there you go. Under the mountains. So it says right here that we go under the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? The big people, the captain.
It says the kings of the earth, the great man, the rich man, the commanders, the mighty man, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains.
Okay, so mostly it's going to be the kings, the commander, the big shots.
Yes.
Or are they going to have a few servants with them to shine the shoes, understand? Because these things under the mountains is mostly prepared for the big shots, the big people.
Mm-hmm.
The small people, they're destined to be blown up in the coming atomic wars, which they are coming.
Verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
See, this goes perfectly with the Bible chronology, okay? This is the wrath of God. Basically, here you see Armageddon, Jesus coming, to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, them who follow him with the mark of the beast. Okay, that's Armageddon, destructions.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says the day of his wrath has come. Okay, so it's Armageddon and the wrath of God put together, because like Armageddon is the end of the wrath of God. So you have tribulation, 2.5 years, then you have the rapture, the church is in heaven, and then there is the wrath of God. Tribulation is the wrath of the devil, says Revelation 12, verse 12. After the rapture starts the wrath of God. Tribulation is not the wrath of God, like some preachers are trying to say, because the wrath of God, it couldn't be the wrath of God, because God would not send as part of his wrath the mark of the beast. So that's the wrath of the devil, the wrath of the Antichrist.
The wrath of the devil against God?
No, is that what I said?
No, I'm asking, what's the wrath of the devil?
The wrath of the devil is against the Christian, against the church, during the Great Tribulations.
Okay.
Okay, then there is a...
And that's why he persecutes them.
Yeah, and then there is the wrath of God, and that is, in the middle of these two, there is the rapture, understand?
All right, so the Great Tribulation is the devil being wrathful and upset against the Christians, and he persecutes them. And there are scriptures in the Bible that say about the wrath of the devil? Because the wrath of God, there are scriptures. But what about the wrath of the devil?
First Thessalonians 5:9, it talks about God has not appointed us unto wrath.
Yes, yes.
That's a scripture which many preachers wrongfully use to show that we don't go through tribulation because that's the wrath of God, and we will not go through the wrath of God. Wrong. We will go through the tribulation, but it's not the wrath of God, it's the wrath of the devil, like it says in Revelation 12:12. The dragon is come with great wrath when it is cast down from heaven.
All right. Revelation 12:12.
Revelation 12, verse 7.
Okay.
He's cast out from heaven. Okay, and then in verse 12, he is on earth, cast out onto the earth, and he persecutes the woman. But the woman is the bride of Christ. He is, finds refuge for 2.5 years, verse 14. But then he cannot reach the woman, the bride, so he goes to the rest of the Christian, verse 17, and attacks them, and he overcomes them. Like in the next chapter, Revelation 13, 7, it shows the church is overcome. They're like, that is the sleepy church, the church is just there praying for the building, while the agile, awake, obedient, mobile bride of Christ, the little Christians who move around, they're not just sitting in church bench praying for the building, they are being protected. Okay,
I understand. So then in Revelation 6, where it talks about the sun became black and the people cried to the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. This wrath of the Lamb, when does it happen?
It begins in Revelation 15, verse 1 and 2. All right, in fact, you can read it. And it shows that it happens after the rapture.
All right. Revelation 15, 1 and 2. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God.
Okay, now, if the rapture was before the tribulation, the wrath of the devil, before the mark of the beast, these guys could not have the victory over the mark of the beast at the Antichrist if they were raptured
before
Antichrist, before the mark of the beast.
They would
so
be
this
saved,
is a proof that the rapture happens after the tribulation, after the mark of the beast, number one. Number two, it shows you after the tribulation of the devil, the wrath of the devil begins the wrath of God. Okay, in fact, in these two chapters, after the rapture, you see that the first of the seven vials are being poured out. It begins in Revelation 15 and 16. You understand? It's very simple and very clear.
Okay, so the wrath of God happens after the rapture.
Yes, and the end of the wrath of God, okay, when the seventh vial is being poured out, that's at the end of Revelation 16, there begins Revelation 17, 18, and 19. What is that? 17 and 18 are the destruction of Babylon, which it seems to us by all indication to be United States.
Okay.
Revelation 19 is Armageddon. So God will use the Antichrist, the beast, to destroy America. A sudden surprise atomic attack. You can see at the seventh vial there is a great earthquake at the end of Revelation 16. And the great city, which is New York, America, is divided in three parts. All the defense, satellites, is all disrupted, etc. At this point, the Antichrist attacks suddenly, by surprise, and destroys the United States. which is the next chapter, 17 and 18. And then the next chapter, 19, after the Antichrist had destroyed America, here comes Jesus on a white horse, Revelation 19, 11, okay, and destroys the Antichrist and his followers.
All right, so conclusion about the 3 days of darkness. In Revelation 6 and 8, it doesn't say 3 days. It says there will be darkness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Revelation 8, 12, you mentioned it was the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, a third of the day, the darkness.
All right, that's the period of the Great Tribulation when the church hasn't been raptured yet.
No,
they will go through this darkness.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Revelation 6, instead, it's another event.
Armageddon.
It's Armageddon when the church is not on earth anymore. It has been raptured.
See, Armageddon we see in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, up over there.
Yeah.
See, Revelation chapter 6 is a resume of the whole book of Revelation, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chapter 6 and chapter 14 is a resume of the whole book of Revelation. They kind of resume. So in Revelation 6, we see first Jesus on a white horse, and he begins to ride around. When is that? At the resurrection, Jesus was victorious. Okay, Jesus was victorious after the resurrection because he overcame death, he overcame the devil. And so his salvation was in action. All right, so that's the same picture. You see Jesus, Revelation 19, 11, which is Armageddon. So Jesus begins to ride victorious at the resurrection 2,000 years ago. All the way to Armageddon, okay, so he's shown on a white horse with a crown, conquering and to conquer. Now, a lot of false teaching will tell you that this guy is the Antichrist because he conquers, but that's wrong. The Antichrist, he conquers nothing. He doesn't conquer at all. He's not on a white horse. If anything, he's on a black horse.
It's true.
You see, the horses here, even the colors are symbolic of what they really represent. Second horse, red, blood, war. Third horse, black, business. Fourth horse, pale, death. First horse, white, beautiful, a beautiful man with a beautiful crown, win. The other three horses, they win nothing. The Antichrist doesn't really win anything, doesn't conquer anything. Yeah, he says in Revelation 13, the whole world will go after him, but it will just be for a very little time. Because for the 3.5 years of tribulation, he doesn't conquer the world. You see that in Daniel 11, 21 until 45. Okay, you see that he has war after war after war after war. Okay, so for 3.5 years, he only has war. King of the North, Antichrist, King of the South, Israel, America. War after war. It's only at the end, understand, at the seventh vial of wrath after the rapture that Babylon is destroyed. Probably, apparently, seems like after the rapture. What does this mean? It means that until then, the Antichrist controls nothing as far as the world is concerned. He controls the world, the whole world. He says, Revelation 13, the whole world wanders after the beast, Revelation 13, 3. That is just at the end, the very end, after he destroys America.
Yes.
Probably for a week or two.
Okay, I see.
Because it's in the middle of the wrath of God. In fact, at the end of the wrath of God, the seventh vial destroys Babylon. That is the end of the wrath of God. Just on the eve of Armageddon. I don't know if you get the picture.
Yes.
Okay, it's very clear. How do you know this? Because it's at the seventh vial. At the end of the wrath, the Babylon is destroyed. That's America. So the king of the north is always fighting against the king of the south, America, until the end of the wrath. That is 3.5 years plus 30 days of the wrath of God. Toward the end, he destroys America. So by that, we know that for this whole period, he does not control the world. He just fights and fights and fights, which is good for us. We'll have a lot of advantage to run around and hide while America is keeping the Antichrist busy.
That's okay, the next
America,
question we have.
But America is not blessed. It's not blessed, you understand? Because America forsook God, that will be destroyed.
That's the next question you're starting to answer. This beloved brother who's writing, he's asking, okay, concerning this darkness and the tribulation that's coming, what are we supposed to do, we believers? So I would like to put you this question after our musical break, if that's okay. We will listen to Testify to Love by Avalon.
Of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind. dream that reaches out. It reaches out to find where love begins. Every word of every story, every star and every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. Every hand that reaches out, every hand that reaches out to offer peace, every simple act of mercy, every step to kingdom come, all the hope in every heart will speak what love has done.
We are back at Radio Blast live with Brother Joseph, answering some super interesting questions from you, dear listeners. Please send in your questions if you have any. Invite your friends to evangelize them with this occasion, and we are here to help you. This beloved brother from Italy, he's writing, concerning the darkness that we have been just explaining and the Great Tribulation. He says, e noi cristiani come dovremmo comportarci?
Translate.
And we Christians, what are we supposed to do concerning all this evil that's going to come upon us?
Well, it's like you cannot be a soldier who trains when the war explodes. You need to train before. You're going to sharpen your sword and learn how to shoot, go get a hold of weapons, and it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
When the battle begins, you have to train before, in fact, years before. Jesus trained his disciple 3.5 years before they were supposed to walk on their own.
Yes, it's true.
It took him 3.5 years. So Christians who are just sitting in church benches like sitting ducks, they're going to be destroyed.
Hmm.
All right? It's not that all of a sudden, bang, you become an apostle, you become a prophet, you become a healer, a miracle worker. You need to start now.
And how do you start?
Well, start going witness and start going evangelizing. Find somebody to teach you how to evangelize, how to live by faith, how to survive in every situation. It's not just to find a, put a caravan, a piece of land in the woods where there is a spring of water so you can save your skin. That's just a part of the situation. Of course, a disciple has to protect his family, this and that. But the best protection during the tribulation will be moving around.
Moving around where?
Wherever the Holy Spirit tells you. First of all, you should ask the Lord if you should stay wherever you are or if you should go somewhere else. Change city, change region, state, nations, continent. Ask the Lord.
And then you need to have some survival skills to know how to make it with your family, with your children, without any... I mean, during the tribulation, we're talking about the mark of the beast.
Yes, don't even waste time about silly things like getting a hold of weapons, ammunition. Let the Antichrist do that. Like I hear people from America saying you need to get firearms, blah, blah. You don't need to get firearms. Not at all. I remember there was this brother was witnessing, I think it was in England, and while he was witnessing and evangelizing in the street, this demon possessed comes and he wants to beat him up. A big guy, two times as big as him.
On the street?
Yeah, he was demon possessed. So he said, I'm going to punch your face off. And just a few days before, there was a brother got a knife stuck in the back and died.
Oh, no.
In the park, yeah. So it's like it was dangerous time, just like when God allowed Stephen to be killed, James to be killed by Herod, the Book of Acts. Well, God allows for to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy walks up to this brother, and this guy just... he just gives him a big punch in the face to this brother. He gives like more correctly he was trying to. When he gets 10 centimeters from his face, bang, his fist just stops. So he says, oh, why did you do that? The guy said. So no tricks with me, okay? So he gave another punch, trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. So again, he couldn't reach his face. See, the angels of the Lord are going to be protecting you, understand?
Really?
So during the tribulation, you don't have to worry about firearms. Antichrist will have tanks, will have planes, helicopter. They're going to come with these black hawks. This guy will going to slide down with ropes, with machine guns. What are you going to do? This guy are trained to kill. You're a Christian. You can never compete with the children of the devil in killing. This is just not our job.
It's true, yes.
Besides, if you go around killing, what are you going to do? Remember Waco? In America?
No, what was Waco?
Waco was just some sect, some guys were a little crazy. And they thought they were going to defend themselves with weapons. So they start shooting this and that. I think they even killed some of the policemen there. But they eventually all got killed. They just piped some gas into the house and set fire. They killed some, I don't know if it was 100 people got killed.
That's sad.
I don't remember exactly.
So they counted on the firearms?
Children. I think it was 80 people got killed. So children got killed and everything. They got burnt. They burned them up. Like it says in the Great Tribulation, the parts in Daniel 11, it talks about the Great Tribulation, Daniel 11, 31 to 35. It says the son shall be killed by the sword, by captivity, by spoil, by flame, that be burnt. During the Great Tribulation, many Christians will die as martyrs, but not the woman, not the bride of Christ. That is Revelation 12, 6, and 14. She'll be protected.
Amen.
You need to move around. You see those Christians over there sitting like the sleeping ducks in church Sunday morning? They're going to be destroyed for sure. Because you never pray for the dead building. Pray for the sheep. Pray for Jesus. You know, just meet every Sunday in a different place. It doesn't have to be Sunday. Do like the early church. For 300 years, they were meeting in houses, in basements, and the rooftop, in the woods. And that's how the enemy could never get them all, and eventually they conquered the world. But today, there is this stupid doctrine that you have to meet a Sunday morning in a place. It was not in the Bible. Yeah, you can meet on Sunday, fine, but it doesn't have to be in a silly building. There was only one building that God blessed. That was the temple in Jerusalem. And then he took his blessing away because, just like happens today, the God's people, the Jews, were worshipping a little God and a little the building. So God took the building away. Jeremiah 26, he cursed Jerusalem and the temple and everything. Jeremiah 26.
So then part of the preparation you are mentioning is prepare spiritually now for these hard times in the tribulation, start evangelizing. And then you mentioned also about run and hide, be mobile, and something about a caravan.
Yeah, if you're in the caravan, but that's not going to help much in the tribulation. Until the tribulation, it's a good idea, because they're going to try to ship you in these FEMA camps in the United States. FEMA camps is the version of the German Auschwitz, okay? They already have coffins ready by the millions. They're going to try to get rid of... They are expecting civil unrest, and they are already planning to arrest people by the hundreds of thousands.
Wow, that's amazing.
They're shipped into the FEMA camp, and then they disappear. They eventually they'll end up in the coffins. Okay, you can see them on the internet, FEMA camp and coffins.
Yes, yes.
If you type that, you'll find them everywhere. And they're ready. They are ready to kill you, to burn you, to bury you. I mean, all these demonstrations. Today is not time to complain anymore about the loss of rights, loss of civil rights in the United States. That day is past.
So then, what can they do now?
The battle for Christianity in the United States was lost tens of years ago, when the Christians, they start seeing the Ten Commandments taken away, their Christian freedom limited, the gospel couldn't be preached anymore in the school. That was when Christianity lost the battle.
But then you're telling them they can give up and that's it? Because they lost?
Because they already lost. Christianity already lost in the United States.
So what can they do, the Christians?
It's like the Christians should have woken up 30 years ago, in the days of Martin Luther King. The guy was a politician. He was not a disciple, a man of God, a missionary. He was just a politician. And I don't like the way he was talking about defending the blacks. What about the white? The white are having it worse than the black these days. So anyway, the point is, today is not time anymore to try to defend your freedom in America. It's time to take off. It's time to flee. It's time to hide. Mm-hmm. If you don't flee and hide now, tomorrow will be too late. Understand?
Okay, I see. Yes.
Already now it's 10 times more difficult than last year.
I see.
See, the way the devil is doing, the trick is trying to put everybody under debt, so he can't even buy a plane ticket to get out.
Okay. So the best way you're suggesting for them is to leave the States and go find another place where to live.
Well, no, it depends. It's not that everybody will be able to leave.
Exactly,
a lot of people will not be able to leave. If you... First of all, you have to ask God. It's not for me to say what you should do. You have to ask the Lord. If the Lord shows you to leave the States and you can, then you should do so ASAP. All right? If you cannot leave the States, then you should find a place in the States.
Like a refuge?
Yeah, like a refuge. Like, understand that there are a lot of Christians in Colorado Springs, for example. Mm-hmm. Just to make an example, there are tens of other places.
Okay.
There were prophets who saw different places in the United States where there are going to be refuges. There are going to be thousands of refuges in the United States set up by the Holy Spirit, where the angels of God will protect the Christian, and the devil's people cannot get near. There were prophets who saw chaos approaching. The devil's people, bans the devil's people, like drunk people and demon-possessed. They will be gone from house to house, breaking doors, raping women, killing people, stealing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So these prophets saw that they were also placed in woods and mountains with these devil's people couldn't get near. See, that's the woman in the wilderness, mm-hmm. Revelation 12, verse 14.
Amen.
Protection. And the scripture says that the woman will be fed. They will feed her. Who's they? The angels will feed her. In
a time when
you need the mark of the beast.
That's nice. So without the mark of the beast, you will supernaturally receive food.
Yeah, just like they will receive the manna in the desert, etc.
So
if you can get out of the United States, you should do so as soon as possible, right? Like we're here in South America, in our case, this is our refuge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We already changed three countries in 3 years, and we found difficulties right and left, but because we refused to buy things, buy buildings, buy houses, we are able to just move at the drop of a hat.
Amen.
Pay the rent and take off.
Amen.
In fact, we invest our little money in mobility, like caravans, vans. We never, never, never buy a ball and a chain sort of a foot. It's called buying property. You can rent a piece of field if you want. Like here, we have chicken, rabbits, we have different things. We eat the eggs.
We are starting,
So until the tribulation, yes, a caravan is perfect.
Survival.
Move around. Otherwise, rent a little house. But during the tribulation, I wouldn't worry at all. During the tribulation, it will be too hard to plan now. So the only thing you can plan, find some brethren, some Christian brethren that you can live together. Some two, three families. You can share the money, you can share the food. The money goes slowly because there is five some Judas, that's all they want. They start sharing the food and the work. The money is the last thing because the people, false brethren, take advantage of you. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's my personal experience.
So until the tribulation, it is a good idea to prepare survival and caravan and be mobile. But during the actual tribulation, you need to count more on just being in God's will and supernaturally being protected and fed by Him. I'm talking about during the tribulation.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to ask you, because you mentioned earlier that part of the preparation for the end time is that now we start evangelizing. And this brings us to the following question from another beloved brother. He's saying, I would really like that you explain to me which is the right way to evangelize. So I would like to ask you this question, but first we listen to another beautiful song which actually talks about evangelism. It's called Love Them Like Jesus by Casting Crowns.
Praise the Lord.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words. You're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding. Love her like Jesus, carry her to Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that He loves her, stay by her side. Love her like Jesus. Love her life.